As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his way and live. And oh, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and happy Monday. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, In That Day, from the in-depth study in the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Let's join Pastor.
Listen, do you know that right now, wherever Hades is, there are people there right this minute. And while we slept last night, they were in torment. I don't even like to talk about that, but it's God's truth. And we can't deny that. We have to teach the whole Word of God. Amen? And I think about that and I tremble, knowing that the only chance man has is now while they're alive. Because after death, there's no deals. That's what I remember years ago when they were programmed, deal or no deal. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just want you, Lord. That's all. So when we think about that, it tells me something. I hope it tells you something, that we must love the lost and warn the lost and tell them what they're facing, but also tell them the good news, because Romans is all about good news. Look there in verse 6, because God's judgment in that day, loved one, is going to be according to man's works or man's deeds. Look what's going to happen. Who will render, literally pay off what's due, who will render to each one, each person, every person, according to his what? Deeds, the things that he's done in this life. Now listen, the Bible teaches us that there's no way that that God saves us by works. Works can't save anyone, amen? That's right. We're saved by grace through faith, okay, alone. But, you know, here's the deal. Satan has lied to every generation of people. He's lied and said, oh, God's a good God if God really does exist. I mean, you're a rational man or woman. You're educated. Surely you're not going to let these preachers scare you and think there's, once a person dies, that you're going to, you know, there's going to be a judgment, that you're going to give an account of your life. That's what Satan tells people. He loves to lie because he wants everybody to be with him. We know where he's going. You know, I told the first service, and they booed me, but I told the first service, I said, I believe that the reason people, so many people in our generation love sci-fi movies, you know, and I'm not condemning you if you do that. I mean, I like science fiction, you know, movies. Superman, remember Superman? You know, Clark Kent, able to leap tall buildings. More powerful than locomotives, faster than a speeding bullet. Don't you watch that? He's still on. Lois Lane just died this week. Hello. It's true. I think she was 94 or something, okay? That's my favorite movie. You know, I love that. I watch it sometimes at home, and Becky says, turn it off. I said, no, she'll go in the other room, and I'll just turn it up louder. Don't mess with me, huh? But I think the reason people like the science fiction is like other planets, other worlds. There's really something out there. And you know, and because it takes them away from the reality of the fact that there's nothing out there. But God is. And God's word is true. And there really is going to be a judgment. And I don't want to be a part of that judgment. Thank God I'm not going to be. And neither are you if you're in Christ. Listen to me now. Every person, Christian or non-Christian, what they've done in this life is recorded in God's books, plural. They're there. Our life is right there. And in that day, you know, the Great White Throne Judgment is the last day, literally, of what we call human history. It's at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ and the Great White Throne Judgment. And in that day, in that last judgment, every person that's lost, From the beginning of time until that very moment, the lost will all stand before God. That's a true word, loved one. Matter of fact, let's look at that judgment. Let's turn in our Bibles. Hold your place, because I'm coming back to it. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. You know, it's the last book of the Bible. You'll find it, okay? Chapter 20. Now watch this. This last judgment. Here, John the Apostle, he's writing, and look what he says. He says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and from whose face," watch this now, "the earth and the heaven fled away." And look at the reason. "For there was found no place for them." Now listen, everything is gone at this judgment now. The earth is gone. The heaven is gone. I don't know that we're there in just some celestial outer space. I don't know. But I know this. There is a throne, and it's a white throne. And the one who is sitting upon that throne is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says that everything that's familiar with man is gone. There's no place found for them. And look what John said he saw. "I saw the dead. I saw the small. I saw the great standing before God." Now, whenever you find that standing like that, it means they're preparing to be sentenced by God. And it says, "And the books," plural, "were opened." A record of all the things they did in their life. A record of all the deeds in one's life. In other words, those books contain the minute, fine, perfect details, if you will, the evidence of how that individual lived, even every spoken word. And it says there, "And the dead were judged according to their," what? "Works, by the things which were written," again, "in the books," plural. Now listen, this is what we call the second resurrection, okay? And this is when the souls of the dead, they come back, and I believe this teaches that they are then united, their soul and their old body, they're united together, not a glorified body, but their old body, and then they stand again. They're awaiting judgment now, but they stand before God. And look what happened in verse 13. "And the sea gave up the dead who were in it," meaning all those who ever perished at sea, from the very first one to the very last one. They were all coming up. And it says, "And death and Hades delivered up the dead." So Hades then is finally emptied, if you will, "who were in them, and they were judged," each one, this is talking about lost people, "each one," and here's how they were judged, "according to his works," meaning whatever he did, she did in their life. Now listen to me. It's very important, Christian, because we're stewards, aren't we? Yes, we are. Every judgment of God, we are judged by what we did, works. In Matthew chapter 25, you have the sheep and the goat judgment. That occurs in the millennial reign of Christ, meaning those who helped Israel, those who were on Israel's side, they will be allowed to come into the kingdom of God or the millennial reign of God. And then you have the Bema seat of Christ, or what we call the judgment seat of Christ. That's for the Christian. When we stand before the Lord, and this is a place, yes, of rewards, we will not be condemned for our sin because he paid for our sins. Amen. That's right. Thank God for that. They're as far as the east is from the west. But we will be judged according to what we did in this life for the Lord, because there's many commands that God has told us to fulfill. Amen. Now, with all that being said, and then the great white throne, I would say this to all of us. Would you say that it is very important what a person does in their life? Yes. Absolutely. Every person, each life is going to be evaluated and done so by God. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 12:14, "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Jesus, a frightening scripture has always been this one to me. Jesus said in Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you, every idle word means inoperative word, a word that does not bring grace to the hearer, bring life to the hearer." He says, "Every idle word that a man speaks, they will give account of it," words, "on the day of judgment." Think of that. We're going to give an account of what we said, why we said it. Man, I look at that scripture always bugs me badly, okay? And I'm saying, Lord, Listen, now look at verse 14. It says there in verse 14, let me turn my page so I can get it. It says, then death, our last enemy, Hades, were cast where? Into the lake of fire. Now listen, people say, you're going to go to hell. No, no one's in hell right now. Not any person is in hell. The wicked, lost people who are unbelievers right this moment are in a place called Hades, okay? The realm of the wicked dead. That's where they are. But here, now at the very end, the lake of fire, which is Gehenna in the Greek, that is eternal hell. That is the place of everlasting torment. And look what God calls it. He calls it the second death. Why the second death? Well, there they were. They died once. They died once. Now they're going to die again. They've been brought up. They've been in waiting. And now they're, for a moment, there's a reprieve. For a moment, they're standing before God. And then now it's going to be the second death. And we know what the second death is. See, the first death that a person, the wicked dead, dies, the first death is not eternal separation from God, even though people are in Hades. Psalm 139 says that God is everywhere right now. Amen? He says, where can you go from him? If you go into Hades, he is there. He's everywhere. But the second death, loved one, listen, all the lost of all the ages are standing before God. We're going to be there. We're probably going to be behind the throne peeking around, okay? Because we're going to come back with the Lord to rule and reign, it says. This happens at the second coming. And here we are. And there they all are. They're all standing there. And now something's going to happen that has never happened to them. They're going to be separated from God's love, God's peace, everything that God is. They will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever separated from God. God's presence, they'll never feel it, never know that it's ever again. I don't know about you, but that just breaks my heart. See, this scripture, loved one, it's true. This is separation from God and all that God is, every attribute of God, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, ever. And I say, dear Lord, you know, which book is your name in? You say, Bill, that's not fair. This is not right. Listen to me now. This is very important. Man has a choice. God sends no one to hell. No one. You know, the Bible tells us, what did Jesus tell us? He said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want one person in hell. He wants to forgive their sin, but the only way a sin can be forgiven is to be in Christ Jesus. I was witnessing to a person not too long ago, a year ago I think it was, or whatever, and I was talking to him and I shared this. I said, there's going to be a judgment. No, I don't care. Yes, you do. You don't understand. God's word is true. Is your name written in the book of life? I don't care about that. Yes, you do. Listen, if your name is not there, you're in trouble. Come to the Lord. Give your heart to Jesus, I was telling you. And you know what? He said, I don't believe in the Lord. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, listen to me. I'll tell you something. Anyone who is not found written in the book of life, they were cast into hell, and that is eternal hell, okay? And you know what I told that person? I said, listen to me. Now, you're telling me you don't want Jesus. I don't want him. I said, then here's what you're telling me. You're really telling me, don't write your name in God's book. Is that what you're saying? Are you saying, don't you dare put my name down? Are you saying in your heart, listen, I would rather be damned for all eternity than have my name in that book? I said, is that what you're telling me? I would rather be damned and be with the devil forever and ever and ever than have my name written in the book of life. Man, I'm telling you, if you're lost, that's insanity. You know, it's so easy to be a Christian. Did you know that? Because it's in the power of another and you don't have to work to do it. You know how you do it? Here it is. You ready? God says, if you will believe in your heart, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that I raised him from the dead, God says, I'll save you if you're serious. That's it. Think about that. Then you'll become a new creation in Christ if you don't know the Lord. That's how easy it is. But to say, I don't want my name in that book is insanity. Now go back to Romans 2 and look at verse 7 with me as I turn there with you as well. Are you guys okay? All right, let's look at this now. Talking about people that are going to be saved. It says eternal life to those, meaning those that are saved, eternal life to those who by patient continuance, beautiful word, patient continuance in what? In doing good, seek for glory, not their own glory. Matthew 5:16, you know, that men may see our good works and bring glory to our God in heaven. Amen? That's what that's about. He says, doing good, honor, not our honor for ourselves, but honoring our Lord, and immortality. Listen, think about it. One day we're going to put on the imperishable. Amen? In other words, this old crummy earth suit that we have, we're going to have a suit or whatever God gives us that man is going to live it forever, never be sick. Think about that. Never hurt. You know, if you ever live with constant acute pain, it's painful. You know what I mean? And you're not going to ache in heaven. Matter of fact, that's not even going to be in your vocabulary. Now, this verse doesn't mean that eternal life can be earned, okay? Eternal life is a gift from God. Yeah, works, listen to me now. Works, our works, a Christian's works, adds nothing to one's righteousness. Our righteousness is something that's been imputed to us by God. The spotless record of Jesus Christ. That's justification. Amen? Matter of fact, you know, to talk about works here, look at chapter 4. You're right there anyway. Look at verse 2. It says, for if Abraham was justified by works, if he was declared innocent before God, if he was declared as if he had never sinned before God by works, watch this. Well, Abraham has something to brag about, but not before God. No, because why? Works can't save you. Look at verse 5. It says, but to him who does not work, because it's not going to save you. There's not one work, but believes on him, meaning Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as or for righteousness. That's it. In other words, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. You really mean it. And God declares you innocent before him. Think about that. And into your account, the spotless, perfect record of our Lord. Man, that is good news, loved one. That is wonderful news. Oh, listen, remember when the Jews came to Jesus, and I'm nearly done, just hold on, 20 more, 30, 40, 50 minutes. Remember when the Jews came to Jesus and they said, what is the work of God that we can do? He said, this is the work of God. Here it is. The only thing you can do is believe on him who sent me. Believe. That's it. It's all by faith. Listen, that patient continuous, that's us right now. That's those that are saved. That's Noah, the patient continuous of Noah out there 120 years building the ark. Or Abraham, the patient continuous of Abraham, who's looking for a city whose builder and maker, you know, wasn't here, but it was God. The one who went into a land not knowing where he was going because he was obedient to God. This is Peter saying, I'm not going to be a fisherman anymore. Lord, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. This is us as well in Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, listen, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me forever and ever and ever. Amen? That's what we're doing. Listen, that patient continuance. That means here we go. We're marching right now toward heaven. That's what we're doing. We're on the narrow road that leads to life. We're on the race, the race of faith that leads us home. That's what we're doing day by day, that patient continuance. But those that are not saved, look at verse 8 quickly. But to those, the lost, who are self-seeking, in other words, lovers of self more than lovers of God and so forth, and do not obey the truth. They oppose the good news. They oppose the gospel. But obey unrighteousness or wickedness. Look what happens. Indignation. That's that wrath of God. Indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish on every soul of man who does evil. The Jew first, also the Greek. But glory, honor, peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, some of you I know may be saying, Bill, those are horrible words. Yes, they are. The indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish. And I know that you, some of you may say, especially if you're a baby Christian, you may be saying, God, that doesn't sound like the God I know. I mean, that's so unloving. That's so harsh. No, listen to me. Those are loving words. God's telling us that's what's going to happen, and it doesn't have to happen. He says, sin has to be paid for. That's what God is saying. He says, no, listen, this is a loving God. Why? God doesn't want mankind deceived. I'm going to tell you something. Satan has deceived every generation. Satan will love to deceive you. Oh, there's no judgment. Or pastors, some pastors, they won't even preach this, and I'm not beating them up. I know how hard it is to preach this on a Sunday morning, but I told the first service, I said, if you'll put these points on your refrigerator, your wife won't argue next week. Yeah, All right, no. Oh, listen. No, pastors may not tell you. Satan definitely won't tell you. But God, in the greatest book ever penned on earth, he says, I want to tell you what's coming in the future. And I don't want you to stand before me at the great white throne judgment. I sent my son to pay for your sin. Why would you stand before me? Why would you refuse my goodness? Because there's no way out. Only a loving God would tell us that. He owns the earth, loved one. He owns every person. He's a creator of life. And I go, oh God, there's no way out except Jesus. That's the only way. There's no escape except for Jesus. Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man one time, once to die. Then cometh the judgment. You know, I say, oh Lord, we're all going to face that. Unless the rapture occurs, then we won't face death. We'll be instantly changed, and that's what I pray. But in that day, and I think about all of that, and I say, oh, to those that don't know the Lord, I meet people every day that don't know the Lord, and they're good people, hardworking people, but there they are. And I say, listen, I love you. Please don't think I'm just an old hardcore preacher or something, but if you don't know Christ, you're going to stand alone. You're going to stand alone that day. And there's not going to be a jury. You will not have an appeal. You will not have an attorney. No, you have nothing to do except stand there. And God is going to say, open those books. And he's going to say, look at all those times you heard the good news. And the Holy Spirit banging and knocking on your heart to come to me. And here you are. You're now dead. You died. And now it is the judgment. You know what God says? Why face death like that? Why face death alone? Why face the judgment of God? My heart breaks for people that are not saved. And the church's heart should break for people that are not saved. Amen? You know, I'm going to tell you, you're listening to me live right now if you haven't turned me off. And if you're here and you're not born again, I don't know who, you know what I mean? Are you born again? Is Jesus your Lord? If he's not, I want you to listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Come to Jesus. Why? Well, because I'm telling you that I've only given you a few points of the judgment. Next week, I finish. You know, listen, he has paid your sin. See, when Jesus died, he took all the sin of the world mankind was placed upon him. He has paid the sin debt of the world. However, you have to come to Christ. You have to come to the one who's paid your sin debt. Listen, why would you deny Christ and then in eternity, go to hell and pay for your sin debt that's already been paid for forever and ever and ever and ever. The Bible is clear, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin, sin has a payday. The wages of sin is, that's eternal separation from God forever, forever, forever. That's not physical death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift, it's a gift. You can't resist, here it is. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think, oh, God, you're so good. I tell you, if you don't know Christ, listen to me. Come to him while grace is still available. You come to him while it's still today. Listen, in that day, judgment day, it will be too late then. Nothing can save you then. Nothing at all. I tell you what, I trust the one, the only one that knows the way out of the grave. His name is Jesus. The only one that can free a man, a woman from sin, from death, from hell, and from the judgment to come. One last verse. It says in Romans 5:9, much more than having now been justified, declared righteous, declared without sin by the blood of Jesus. Here it is. We shall be saved from wrath, God's wrath against sin. We will be saved from wrath through him. The only way you can be saved is Jesus. There's absolutely no other way. We give you honor and glory in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen.
We'll be back tomorrow with another message from Pastor Bill's study in Romans. And we hope you'll join us again. Thanks for listening to the broadcast with us, and have a blessed day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.